So we are holding on Ahmed Bey's 9 lines from the bottom. We mentioned in the Mishnah, you have a case where a person, put his Eruv in a tree, where Eruv Tchumen that is, and the question is, so is it a valid Eruv? So we said in the Mishnah, it depends whether he puts it above 10 Tfachim or below 10 Tfachim. We talked about yesterday in the Gemara that we're talking over here specifically the tree is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The tree itself is tall enough to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid of its own. So if he puts it higher than 10 Tfachim on the tree, then he's putting it on, then he's putting it in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and he wants his Makam Shvisa, good morning, he wants his home base for Shabbos to be at the bottom of the tree, which is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So therefore, he's not Huve Eruv, Makam Echad, he and his Eruv are in different places because he's not able to bring the Eruv to him, even Bein HaShemashes, because it's an Isur Daraisa to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So as opposed to if he puts it below 10 tefachim, then it's in Carmelis, so then fine. It's also Drabanan to carry from Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but for purposes of Eruv, we allow it. We mentioned yesterday, actually, it doesn't literally mean that he's going to be allowed to do it. The Rashba brings from the Ravid that it doesn't mean you're actually going to be able to, but since hypothetically you could, without being over on an Issa Daraisa, only an Issa Darabanan, then the Rabbanan allow it in the case of Eruv. You have something called Kulei Eruv, that in general we're going to learn in the next parak, a concept we're going to learn later on a concept that Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel BeEruv, that when you have a Machloikas about the dinim of an Eruv, about the dinim of an Eruv Tchumen, then we usually go according to the more lenient opinion. So over here also the Chacham gave us this leniency that they allow us to consider as if you could move it because you're not going to be over on Issur D'oraisa, even if you did, even though in practice you can't actually move it from Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay. So again, let's focus on the case of the tree. Again, Lamed Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. Amar Rava, Loishanu Ela Be'ilan Ha'omer Chutz Le'ibura Shel Ir. This din that there's a difference whether the tree is whether the tree is 4 tefachim wide or not, and whether it's 10 tefachim tall. That applies only if it's outside the Ibura Shel Ir. Ibura Shel Ir is we learned earlier in our parak that there's a concept where in some places in Halacha we said that the amount of 70 2/3 amos is considered significant. We talked about it in connection with actually in the previous parak we talked about in connection with the dinim of a karpif, an enclosed area where we said that if it's square then the maximum size of it would be that the sides are 70 2/3 amos, which then we said multiplying comes out to 5,000 square amos, which is the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan. So in general, in certain areas in Hilchos Shabbos, that figure of 70 2/3 is significant. One of them is as far as measuring the tchum of a city. We're going to talk about it in more detail later on in the fourth and fifth parak. We're going to talk about these dinim of the Ibura Shel Ir, of the area outside of a city, and when it's counted as part of the outskirts of the city, and therefore that it's considered that the tchum is drawn around it. You have certain cases that we'll talk about. So Rava is saying it depends whether this tree is within that Ibura Shel Ir, within that 70 2/3 amos of the city. In other words, what we're talking about is a person lives in city A. He wants to be able to walk at least as far as city B on Shabbos. Well, city B has to be inside his chum, otherwise he couldn't put the Eruv there in the first place. He wants to be able to walk to city B and past it. So he wants to be able to walk, let's say, a maximum of 4,000 amos in that direction. So what he does is, he can put his Eruv in that other city, in city B, or we're talking about over here, a tree near it. Depending on the exact circumstances, as we're going to learn later, he's allowed to walk the entire city in a good distance beyond it, maybe even more than expected, whatever. The point is that he's placing his Eruv in or near that city, and that's going to be his home base for Shabbos, and his tchum is going to be measured there. So Rava is saying that if the city is... you do measure a square for the Tchum. We're going to learn about that later on. We're going to learn about that later on in the fourth parak, towards the end of the fourth parak. So actually, we're going to talk about over there. It's a machlokas. Whether you definitely draw a circle. The question is, after you draw a circle, do you then put a square around that? We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that later on. But yeah, the basic idea is that wherever you're putting your eruv becomes your home base for Shabbos, and therefore that your tchum is going to be measured around that. So you could have the person lives in city A. He plans to walk to city B on Shabbos and even past that. So therefore, he puts his Eruv in or near city B. And then you're measuring the 2,000 from that spot. From that spot where he put his food, right? So what you do is actually he puts down the Eruv at the beginning of Shabbos, or before Shabbos rather, at the beginning of Shabbos. His tchum becomes a square or a circle centered on that eruv tchumen. We're going to learn later on there can be cases where there can be basically what happens is whatever he gains in one direction, he's losing in the other direction. We'll talk about that in more detail when we get to those issues. But anyway, the point is that so let's say so over here we put it in a tree near the city. So if it's within 70 and 2/3 amas of the city, Rava says, "Aval ilan ha'omid b'seichi bura shal ir." If it's in the middle, if it's within that 70 and 2/3 amas of the city, then afilu l'mayla ma'asara hareza eruv. Then Rava says the eruv would be valid even if it's l'mayla ma'asara, even if you put it higher than 10 tefachim on the tree. Even if you put the eruv higher than 10 and then 10 tefachim on the tree, it would still be valid. The masa kamanda malya dami, because Rava says the city has a wall. Therefore, we consider in a certain sense we consider the city as though it was filled up all the way to the top. The walls, of course, are higher than 10 tefachim. There's no diagram for it yet, but wait. The city itself, the walls of it, are higher than 10 tefachim. For purposes of these halachas, we can consider as though the city was filled up, as though it was a solid block, and then therefore, and we extend that out to the ibura shalir, to the 70 amas. So in effect, what you have is this tree is not just one solitary tree standing over there. It's actually part of a huge block, which is much more than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and much more than 10 amas tall. So therefore, the top of the tree and the point where he's being konishvis, so the point that he's making his home base for Shabbos, are all within that Rishus HaYachid, and therefore he's good. Now again, Rashi says over here, similar to what we said from the Ravid, we don't mean that actually he's going to be able to carry. The fact is, it still is a Rishus HaRabim, it still is a Rishus HaYachid, etc. All the usual dinim of Shabbos apply. For this, only for this purpose of making the Eruv of Kosher, we're going to consider this concept as though the city was one solid block, which is not only a Rishus HaYachid, but extends to include the 70 Amos around it as well, as though all of that was within a Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, in that case, by that logic, we would say the same thing should apply even if this tree is outside the 70 and 2/3 amas of the city. Fine, in that case, we're not going to say that the city extends to it, but we should consider the tree itself to be, and the area underneath it, to be a complete Rosh Hashanah. Again, for purposes of Eruv, not for any other purpose of carrying on Shabbos. Why? Kiven de Omar Rava, hanosnen Eruva yeshle arba. Rava says a general rule, which is going to come up later in our perek, that any time a person puts down his eruv, he has we allot him an area of 4 amos of 4 amos around it. Meaning, the original case Rashi explains is later in the perek. We talk about, let's say, a person put down his eruv. Imagine, for example, a person put down his eruv. Let's say at the 2,000 amma mark. So he measures from his house. He measures from his house, or from the edge of his city, 2,000 amas. Good morning. He measures from the edge of his city 2,000 amas, and he places the eruv exactly at that point 2,000 amas. What would happen now if that food rolls away and it winds up now outside the original 2,000 amas? So then we would say it's no good, because at the beginning of Shabbos, when he's still in his hometown, he's not able to reach that eruv without being over on the dinim of tchum. However, he wasn't there when he was Kodesh Shvisi. He placed the food there sometime Friday afternoon, and then he left. So now, later on, it rolled. So Rava says, so now we say later on, So in the Perek, so Rava explains that if it rolled away to a place less than 4 amos from where it was originally, then he's still okay, because since we give him 4 amos around it, and that 4 amos overlaps with the original 2,000 amos, then we consider as though it's still in the same place, and the Eruv is valid. So since Rava says that, you should argue the same thing, Habyal Roshus HaYachid. In effect, then, you should say that 4 amma square is also considered like a Roshus HaYachid for the same reason. Good morning, Avraham Moshe. For the same reason, you should consider as though that whole 4 amma square was completely filled up by the same logic we're holding on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The same logic, as we said, that the city that the tree is near is considered as though it was completely filled up. And therefore, that you have a complete Rishus, that not only the city itself counts as one big Rishus HaYachid, but the tree is also. So even if we're not talking about, fine, there's no city over here, but the tree itself, because you have 4x4 amas, you should consider as though that's all filled up, as though that's all one solid block. The top of the tree, therefore, is in that nominal Rishus HaYachid. The bottom of the tree, where you plan to be your Makam Shvisa, is also within it, and therefore it should be Huvei Ruv of Makam Echad. Again, Rashi says, we would never say such a thing as far as other Hilchos Shabbos. Otherwise, if you go like that, you have no concept of carrying from one Rishus to another. Only for the Kulei Eruv, only for the fact that we're making an Eruv Tumen over here, are we going to be Makel on that. So why don't we say that? So Habila Rishus HaYachid, we should consider that the entire area around the tree, the whole 4 amas within the Eruv, is considered like a Rishus HaYachid, or Rishus HaYachid or the Adla Rakia. And we know that Rishus HaYachid goes up indefinitely all the way up to the sky. Well, then good. In that case, then it would be Huvei Eruv Makam Echad, even if your Eruv was higher than 10 Tfachim. By Rava's logic, why are we saying if the Eruv is higher than 10 Tfachim that it's no good? The answer is Amar of Yitzchok B'reidin Meshavshia Hacha BeIlan Hanoite Chutz La'Aba Amas Askinan. We're talking about an Arm Mishnah over here where the branches of the tree stick out beyond 4 amas. So let's say, in other words, so you planned to be Kona Shvisa at the next to the trunk of the tree, but the branch extends out more than 4 amas in that direction. You put the Eruv on beyond the 4 amas from where you are. So v'niskaven lishbos be'ikroi, you plan to be kona shvisa at the bottom of the tree. So therefore, what you have is like this. Rashi explains, if the eruv food is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then you would be able to carry it by carrying less than 4 amas at a time and bring it to where you are. Because even though we're saying it's sort of considered, even though we're saying that it's considered a Rishus HaYachid relative to the fact that you have the 4 amas around it, but we're saying, on the other hand, it's not a real Rishus HaYachid. The fact is that it's a Karmelis or even part of Rishus HaRabim itself. So therefore, now we have it in general, a din, we learned at the end of Masechta Shabbos, that if you have, that you're able, under certain circumstances, to carry something less than four amas at a time in Rishus HaRabim. So over here, you'd be able to do that. You'd bring the food from the branch that it's on and bring it less than 4 tefachim closer to you. And then again, another less than four amas to you, and so forth, and therefore you'd be able to get it. As opposed to, if it's above 10 tefachim, then it's a true Rishus HaYachid, then it's not even just this nominal Rishus HaYachid that you get by creating the 4 amma area. Then it's a real Rishus HaYachid, because the tree itself is more than 4x4 tefachim and more than 10 tall. So then you don't have 4 amas available to you. Then you're carrying, if you were to take the Eruv food, you're carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, there you don't have the 4 amma dispensation. So we're not talking about that the branches hang all the way down to the ground. Although, wait, one second. Right now we're talking about that you have a branch of the tree that sticks out beyond 4 amas from the base of the tree. So it goes like that. So you put your Eruv further out over here. So therefore, it depends whether it's Lamaila or Lamata Miasara. If it's Lamata Miasara, then in effect, what it is the place where it's in is sort of a hybrid of Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. It's considered a Rishus HaYachid to the extent because you have the 4 amas around it, because you always have 4 amas around the place of your Eruv in case it rolls away a little. But really it's part of Rosh Hashanah because it's below 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore you'd be, so therefore you have, what do you have when you have an item, when you have an item in Rosh Hashanah and you need to get it to another place in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to walk less than 4 amos at a time. Again, midrabanan, generally you're not. In certain cases, we learned at the end of Masechta Shabbos, the Chachamim still allow it. This would be one of those cases. Again, doesn't mean based on what the Ravid says that you'd actually be able to carry it like that, but at least hypothetically you could, without being over on an Issa Daraisa, and therefore it'll be good. But if the Erev food is higher than 10 tefachim in the tree, then it's in a complete Rosh Hashayachid. Then it's a nominal Rosh Hashayachid because of the 4 amas around it, and it's a real Rosh Hashayachid because it's above 10 tefachim on a thing, on an actual object, which is 4x4. Because you have to have Huv Erev Makom Echad, right? You have to have that he and his Erev should be in the same domain as far as Hilchos Shabbos in order for him to be able, that hypothetically, if he wanted, you have to be able to, you have to be able to take it from where it is hypothetically and be able to eat it ben hashmashos if you wanted to, and here you can't do that. So no, so we're not talking about it rolled away. We're talking about he put it in the branch of the tree and it's still there, but because the problem is his makam shvisa is supposed to be by the base of the tree. So therefore, so like this, it's out. It has to be the same reshus. It also has to be close enough together. If it's with once it's outside of four, once it's outside of 4 amos, then we're saying it's, so he's here and the food is over here. It needs to be able to be brought over to him, unless he, if he means his makam shvisa to be under the branch, then fine. But we're talking about that he meant his makam shvisa to be by the trunk of the tree. So he has to have it there. It has to be there. Ben Ashmashas, but we still. Yeah, so you actually have, by the way, the Rashba talks about, brings over here a whole thing. Now, we said before in the sugya, and we're going to quote in more detail later on, that that Rebbe holds that things that are also Dirabbanan, the Chacham were not goes on them, Bein Hashmashos. So he learns that that depends. There are certain Dirabbanans where they are goes on even Bein Hashmashos. Namely, when those are very likely to lead to an Issa Daraisa. So he disagrees with Rashi on this that we're saying over here, that you'd be able to carry it pochos midalad amos each time. He learns that it's if the branch that the food is on is less than 8 amos away from you, such that you would be able to, you have 4 amos from your makom shvisa, namely from the trunk of the tree. You're allowed to carry something in Rosh Hashanah one time less than 4 amos. That the Chachamim were not gozer on. To carry it less than 4 amos at a time, meaning that you carry it 4 amos, stop, then carry again less than 4 amos and stop, and then carry again less than 4 amos and stop. That we generally don't allow because you may come to carry it the full 4 amos and be chayav. But you do actually have, even Dirabbanan, you're allowed to carry an object in Rosh Hashanah less than 4 amos one time, and therefore that's what you do over here. You would walk out less than 4 amos from your makom shvisa. You'd bring the food in the one time less than 4 amos from the branch it's on, and therefore you're good. But if the branch is longer than 8 amos, then already the Rashba says, unlike Rashi, that wouldn't work. So then the question is, milo mata. Okay, but then what if that's the case we're talking about, where the branch sticks out beyond 4 amas, then why are we using the word lamilo or lamata? The branch itself sticks out horizontally. If you're talking about, for example, where he put it on a higher branch versus a lower branch, then Rashi says the expression should be gavoya or namuch. Lamaila me'asara and lamata me'asara implies you're talking about on the same object itself, where you can put it higher up or lower down. But if we're talking about it, he's putting it on the branch, there's no higher and lower on it. The answer is there is. The hodos zokif. The answer is that we're talking about where the branch then sticks up vertically further outside the 4 amas, which here's the picture. So you have... here's the picture. So you have the branch goes out horizontally more than 4 amas. So one possibility is you put it on that part, which is below 10 tefachim. The other possibility is the branch then sticks up towards the end. And then you suppose you put the Erev on that end, which sticks up. So now it's relevant to use the word lamaila and lamata, because on the same branch itself, you're able to put it higher or lower. And then it depends. If it's above 10 tefachim, then we're saying in the Mishnah, ein Erev ve'Erev, because again, then you have it is in a true Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And you can't, on even Bein HaShemoshes, bring that to Rosh Hashanah to be able to eat it. Whereas if it's below 10 Tefachim, it's only a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's only a nominal Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it has, you have the 4 amas around it in case it rolls. But it's really in Rosh Hashanah. And so it's really in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore, so Huvayiruva, Makam Echad, and you're able to bring it over, according to Rashi, indefinitely, even Pachas, Pachas, Midal Ramas the whole time, according to the Rashi, but only one time. Because it's lower than 10, right? So, right. So the question is, the Baal HaMura, by the way, brings Rashi's explanation over here of Milo and Milo Mata, the Hodder Zakif. He has a bunch of questions on it, and he actually explains differently that what we're talking about over here is that the branch that we can be talking about, he says, a weak branch where when a normal wind blows, it can bring the Eruv closer to him. It can, the branch itself can bend with the food on it and end up that part of the branch is closer to him. As opposed to when the branch is a solid branch and it's not going to move in the wind, then not. Okay. So the question. Okay. So the question is, okay, but even if it was above 10 tefachim, and you're saying that's no good because you're talking about that it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and he's down at the base of the tree, which is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you still have a way of getting the food to him without being over on Issur D'oraisa. Namely, what you do is that you climb up onto the tree until above 10 tefachim, and then you get it. If the whole tree above 10 tefachim is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you're allowed on Shabbos. Again, D'oraisa, you're allowed to climb trees on Shabbos. It's only D'rabbanan that you're not. So fine, you're makom shvisa at the base of the tree. You wouldn't be able to reach out and get the food and eat it where you are because that would be bringing from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But you would be able to. Before we get to that, actually, let me mention also something else that Tosfos points out over here. So if we have this scenario over here again, where the branch goes out horizontally for a while and then goes up. How are we saying that the top of that is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Don't you have, it's more than three tefachim above the ground? And we've learned in the previous perek that when you have a mechitza that goats are able to walk in the first and second perek, we talk about if you have a mechitza that's more than three tefachim off the ground and goats are able to walk underneath, then it doesn't count as a mechitza. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers, one of them being that we could be talking about where the area under the branch actually itself has a pile of dirt or something under it that closes it up. So you have, in other words, again, you have the branch sticking out. You have, then it goes up to create a Rosh Hashanah Yachid on the top of it. Underneath that point in the branch, you have a pile of dirt or something which closes it up such that goats wouldn't be able to walk through over there. So you have a real Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The other possibility Tosfos says is maybe you don't even need that. If the vertical part of the branch itself is 10 tefachim tall or more, then it would count as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid even though it's high off the ground. The height of it, yeah. Anyway, so the question is, v'hoi boi maisil oderach olav. The question is, he still has a way of getting the food on Shabbos because he could climb up onto the tree and then he's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the food is also in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and then he could eat it. His makom shvisa is down at the bottom. But no, actually, what it is, again, now what he can do is, having climbed up onto the tree and getting it, then he's able to get it. So now that and then he's actually able to bring it to his makom shvisa because he's standing on top of the tree. He reaches over, he gets the food. So far, he's carrying in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, good. Then he reaches downward. He doesn't actually get down from the tree, but he reaches downward to his makom shvisa. And he still has the eruv food in his hand. He hasn't placed it down in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He's still there. So therefore, you still have huvei eruv of makom echad. Well, if he actually goes down onto the floor, then yeah. But yeah. Well, that's the point. Also, he's within 4 amas of his makom shvisa, and we're also saying that he has 4 amas around that. So, therefore, in effect, we should consider. Tosfos gets into a whole discussion over here about what exactly. Remember, we learned in Shabbos there are various dinim over there about when you transfer something across to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or from one house to another next to each other on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what you're chayav, what you're potter for, because it depends on how the Levium loaded up the wagons in the Mishkan. So here also, what you have in effect is that you're standing up in the tree and you're throwing it, let's say, down to the bottom of the tree. So then, fine, Zurich, we said to throw something across the width of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is potter. Here, in effect, that's what you're doing also. Okay. Yeah, like I said, Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of this. Tosfos also gives another possibility: is what you could do is you take the food down from the top of the branch, you put it down in the crook of the branch, which is chimerous, and then you bring it for, because it's above Rosh Hashanah, it's above Rosh Hashanah, but within 10 tefachim of it, and then you move it from there to your Mokum Shvisa. So then again, you haven't been over on any Issur Daraisa. Instead, you're moving it one time and then another time, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. So the answer is, Shirabim Makatfin, all of the answer is that the branch we're talking about over here is one that people regularly use to adjust their loads in Rosh Hashanah. V'chid'ola, and therefore it's actually considered part of Rosh Hashanah, like Ola says, the Oma Ola. Omud Tisha Rosh Hashanah, if you have a pillar exactly 9 tefachim tall in Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbim Makatfin Olav, and people use it to adjust their burden. So if people didn't use it for that purpose, it would be a chimerus. Anything between 3 and 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah is considered chimerus. Below 3 tefachim, it's bottle to the ground, and above 10, it would be Rosh Hashanah. But if it's exactly 9, then usually you would say it's chimerus. But here, because people use it to be makatif olav, then it becomes part of Rosh Hashanah because it's used as part of Rosh Hashanah. V'zorak v'nocha gabav. If somebody then throws something from Rosh Hashanah and it lands on top of it, chayev, then he'd be chayev for transferring from Rosh to Rosh. So the same thing over here. The branch itself, the part that's below, it'd be chayev kores, chayev kores or chatas or whatever. No, if it's a chimerus, he'd be potter. Chimerus is only d'rabbanan. But because if it's l'mayla ma'asar t'vachim, then it would be Rosh Hashanah, then for sure he'd be chayev. But we're saying, if this thing is, this pillar standing in Rosh Hashanah, if it's anywhere between 3 and 9 t'vachim tall, then we say it's not considered, then we say it's considered a chimerus. A classic chimerus is less than 10 t'vachim tall, as long as it's 4 by 4 t'vachim. But one second. If it's exactly 9 tefachim tall, then we say now it's not a chimerus. Now it becomes part of Rosh Hashanah because people in Rosh Hashanah use it to adjust their loads. Therefore, the same thing over here with our branch. Our branch over here we're talking about is 9 tefachim off the ground. So people use, and people regularly use it when they're walking in the Rosh Hashanah to adjust their loads. Therefore, we consider it part of Rosh Hashanah. So we're back to the same thing then. You put the Eruv higher up on the branch, above the vertical part of the branch, remember, went out horizontal and then went up vertical. You put the Eruv on top of that branch over there, which is in Rosh Hashanah. If you were now to, even if you climb up onto the tree, you're still in Rosh Hashanah because you're standing on that branch, which is part of Rosh Hashanah. So you still can't bring it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Or according to Tosfos, you can't do it stepwise either, because you can't bring it from the top of the branch down to the crook of the branch, because the crook of the branch is Rosh Hashanah. You're carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So that is why it wouldn't work. Fine. The Gemara says, "My Rebbe." Here it's not a pillar; it's a branch of a tree, right? But it's the same principle. It works like a pillar. In other words, though, the point is, if it wasn't for that consideration, if it was just a straight branch, for example, that went up, then based on Rava's logic, that we say that whenever you put down an Eruv, you have 4 Amos around it that are considered in a certain sense, like a Rosh Hashanah, then you wouldn't have a problem, even if the food was above 10 tefachim, because we would consider that. In that area centered on that tree where you put the Eruv, we would consider all that area as though it was filled up, as though it had walls around the 10 tefachim, and the whole thing therefore becomes Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah Oyla Ad L'Rakia, and therefore you have a Huve Eruv in Makom Echad. Again, you wouldn't actually be able to take it down, but for purposes of the Kolos of Eruv, we would consider as though you could. Well, it doesn't actually. No. That's in Tosfos's scenario. That's in the scenario we just discussed in the Gemara with the bent branch that goes out horizontally and vertically. Then you need the pile of dirt sitting under the branch in order to prevent gedoyim boikinboy. If we were talking about just a regular case, we originally thought we're just talking about any old kind of tree. You place your eruv in it. So if it's above 10 tefachim, we still say we would consider for purposes of kol eruv as though that entire area was Rosh Hashanah, and the area at the base of it would also be part of Rosh Hashanah. Only we're talking about over here. Again, the branch goes out of that 4 amos, and then it goes up vertically. That's when you don't have that ability. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now, we mentioned before in the Sugya that Rebbe holds that kol davar shu mishum shvus like gazru ala bein hashmashes, that whenever you have something which is only also derabbanan, then it's not also bein hashmashes. Now, Rashi seems to basically be taking that very, very broadly, that in general, we say that things that Rebbe, in other words, now like this, we learned the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us that when it's bein hashmashes, sofek chashecha, sofek ein chashecha, so there are certain things that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to take maaser from Dmai, you're allowed to make Eruvin, but you're not allowed to do melachas daraisa at that point. Rashi would hold that Rebbe's rule over here applies to all dinim derabanan. So either that Mishnah is only mentioning certain things, but it means other ones as well, or that Rebbe is disagreeing with that Mishnah, which could also be. You have, again, the Rashba says no, that when we say that loy gazru ala bein hashmashes, we don't mean that you're actually allowed to do these things. We mean that for purposes of Eruv, we act as though you're allowed to do these things. So certain things you're allowed to. We say over there, you're allowed to take Meiser from Dmai, for example. Because again, Dmai being only Dirabanan, the Chachamim allowed you to do it bein hashmashes. In this case over here, again, when we started by saying that, but before we got to Rava's point about the branch or whatever, when we were talking about that the food is below 10 tefachim on the tree, and we said it's allowed because the food is in Karmelis and you're in Rosh Hasharabim, and you're allowed and to carry from Karmelis to Rosh Hasharabim is only derabanan, then therefore the Chachamim allow it bein hashmashes. So again, according to Rashi, it means they would actually allow it. You would physically be able to carry that food. According to the Rashba, no, it doesn't mean you would actually be able to, but it means we act as though you were able to, since it's only an Issur Derabanan. The Rambam has yet another understanding. He says that when you say that the Chachamim allow a Shavuos Bein HaShemoshes, it's only when it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, a Tzorech Gadol. So in this case, the Rambam would say that maybe you'd be allowed to, because after all, you put an Eruv generally for a Dvar Mitzvah. So in order to make it kosher, yeah. Okay, so my Rebbe or my Rabbanan, where exactly do we see this Machloikas of Rebbe and the Chachamim about whether an Eruv that would that's placed in a way that to get it on Shabbos would involve an Issur Shavuos? So we say it's allowed because Bein HaShemoshes is such Issurim are allowed. So where do we see that machlokes? The Tanya. Nosni be'ilon l'mayla me'asara tefachim ein Eruv ve'Eruv. If you place the food in a tree above 10 tefachim, then it's not a valid Eruv. L'mata me'asara tefachim Eruv ve'Eruv. But if it's below 10 tefachim, then we said it's an Eruv. So far, that's based on the principles that we said before. Below 10 tefachim, it's in Karmelis, and therefore you'd be able to retrieve it bein hashmashes, to carry from Karmelis to Rosh Hasharabim. Between 3 and 9, right? But if it's above 10, then no, because, even above 9, if it's not Rabbi Makatfin Olav, only if people use this tree to adjust their loads, then we would say it counts as part of Rosh Hasharabim. If not, then even above, then even 9 Tfachim, or anywhere between 9 and 10, would still be Kaimonis. Above 10, it's Rosh Hasharabim, so therefore no good. V'osu litloi, and you're not allowed to take that food from there on Shabbos. Now, Rashi actually says we shouldn't be gerdus that because the Gemara is soon going to be discussing the question of whether you're allowed, are we saying that you're not allowed to take it on the grounds of Muktzah because you're not allowed to use trees on Shabbos. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos because you may break off a branch, like we talked about the other day. We learned about it at the end of Masechet Shabbos as well. So Rashi takes out the words also litloy over here because it's not really relevant over here. We're talking about the question of whether huve eruve b'makom echad. We're not really getting into questions of mukta. On the other hand, the Rashba and many other Rishonim all go to sit and they explain how it can work because we're still talking about that you have to have that the Eruv food is still, it has to be accessible to you. It has to be that you would be able to take it off the tree. Okay. Anyway, fine. On the other hand, if you put it on the tree within 3 tefachim of the ground, then mutar litloy, then you're allowed to take it on Shabbos because even, let's say, for example, the roots of the tree stick up within 3 tefachim above the ground, we're going to learn in the last parak of our Masechta that those are considered part of the ground and you're allowed, and they have the regular dinim of Rosh Hasharabim. So the same way as we say that you're allowed to carry something less than 4 amos one time in Rosh Hasharabim, so the same thing over here. Then the roots or the bottom of the tree or whatever that's within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered like part of the ground. So it's part of Rosh Hasharabim. Continues the Braisa, Nosni b'kakola, what if you put the Eruv in a basket, utloi b'ilon, and you hung the basket on a tree, afilu l'mayla ma'asara tefachim, then even if it's above 10 tefachim, a Ruve Eruv Divrei Rebbe, then Rebbe says it is considered a valid Eruv, as we're going to discuss soon why that would be. The Chum say no. Any place where you can't take it from, it's not considered an Eruv. So we're going to see soon what the exact scenario with the basket is and why Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing about it. So first we have to figure out like this. When the Chachamim are saying at the end of the Braisa that any place where you can't take the food from, what are they referring to? Are they referring to the last case that we talked about where you put it in a basket? Or are we talking about a previous case in the Braisa where you put it above or below 10 tefachim? So, Vachamim Omim Aheya. Which part of the Braisa is the Chachamim Omim referring to? Ilema Asefa, are you saying it's going on the last case, where Rebbe is saying that if you put it in a basket, then it's a valid Eruv, and the Chachamim are saying that no, because you're not allowed to take it from there, because you're not allowed to use a tree. And in other words, we would say that the Chachamim do not agree with Rebbe's concept that anything that's also Mishum Shavus is Mutar Ben Hashmoshes. They would say the fact is it's also to use a tree, for example, to climb up on it, or to take something on or off it, or whatever, even Ben Hashmoshes. So therefore, this basket hanging on the tree, you wouldn't be allowed to take from it because of the Issur de Rabbanon. The problem with that is, Lema Kasavri Rabbanon Tzdodin Asurin. Would that mean then that the Chachamim hold that not only the tree itself, but also the Tzdodin, also something that is that's hanging on the tree, for example, would also be also to use? Now, there's a sugya about that at the end of Masech de Shabbos, in the last parak over there. There was a sugya over there involving using the sides of animals, using the sides of trees or whatever. There is an opinion over there who says that it's osur, and in fact, the Gemara ends up paskening like that. What we say is tzdodin asurin, tzide tzdodin mutarin. We say that, for example, so you have, let's say, for example, the tree itself, it's osur to climb on or lean something against it or whatever, or lean yourself against it or whatever on Shabbos, again, because the chumma concern, you may break off a branch. If you have, let's say, for example, you stuck a peg into the side of the tree, then you would be also to use that peg as well. Before Shabbos, obviously, you put in the peg. So you'd be also to take in or put out that peg on Shabbos. What you would be allowed to do, though, is tzidei tzdodin. If you have something hanging from that peg, you would be allowed to take something in and out of that basket, let's say, on Shabbos. Right, so that's called tzidei tzdodin. I mean, a practical example might be, let's say, for example, you have a swing hanging from a branch of a tree. So the branch of the tree itself is also on Shabbos. The swing that's hanging from the branch would also be also, that's called tzdodin. But if you have, let's say you have something hanging from the strings of the swing. Let's say you have the base of it. So that would be mutter to sit on Shabbos, let's say. So the point is, in that sugi over there, when we say tzdodin asurin, we don't bring our braisa over here, which we would have brought it as a proof for that opinion. So therefore, we see that our braisa, they can't be arguing about tzdodin. The machlokas must rather be, it's not so much about the question of mukta, it's a question of whether huve ruve b'makom echad, whether you're allowed to bring the eruv to you bein hashmoshes. So again, when we're talking about the case of the basket, where the basket is tzdodin because it's hanging from the tree, then we can't say the Chachamim are saying that you wouldn't be allowed to bring the food from there on the grounds of the dinim of mukta, because on the grounds of the dinim that you're not allowed to use a tree, because then we would have brought this braisa in connection with that sugya in Shabbos. So it has to be Ela Aresha. So it has to be that the Rabbanan are referring to the Resha. So forget about a basket. We're talking about there was just the tree itself. Rebbe said it depends whether you put the Eruv above or below 10 Tefachim. The Chum are saying that as long as you can't take it from there on Ben HaShemoshes, then it's not an Eruv. So we have to ask, Hai Ilan Hechidami. So what's the size of the tree that we're talking about? E de les be'arba, if the tree is less than 4x4 tefachim in size, in cross section, then makom p'turhu. Then what's the problem? Whether you put it above or below, even if you put it above 10 tefachim, it should be okay because it's a makom p'tur, and you're allowed to carry even midrabanon from a makom p'tur to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So you'd be able to get the food from on top of the tree and bring it down to the ground where you are and eat it. It's a very narrow tree. Yeah, we're talking about a very narrow tree. It's the cross section of it. Like if you chop down the tree, for example, the stump would be less than 4x4 tefachim. So right now, when it's standing, it's less than the top of it is less than 4x4 tefachim. So then there's The trunk, let's say. The trunk. I mean, it could be include the branches as well, but whatever. The whole area where you put it is less than 4x4. So what's the problem? It's a makamatur. The id isparabra. If, on the other hand, we're talking the tree, the tree itself is at least 4x4 tefachim, then we have to ask. Again, we have a reisha and a sefer in this braisa. Both of them have to be talking about similar kinds of cases. First, we said you put it on the tree. Then we said you put it on a basket hanging from the tree. So they both have to be talking about the same thing. So kinos nebuchakola my habi. So what does it help to put it in a basket? The tree itself is a rishus yachid. Why would, if you put it in a basket, Rebbe is saying that even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it's a valid eruv? Why? You have it in rishus yachid. You're trying to carry it down to rishus rabim, and you can't do that. The answer is Amar Ravina, Reisha de Ispeaba. It's like this. The Reisha of the Braisa, when it talks about whether you put it on the tree itself, above or below 10 Tfachim, the tree itself is 4x4. So therefore, it's very straightforward. If it's above 10 Tfachim, then it's in Rosh Hashayachid, and you can't bring it to Rosh Hashanah. If it's below 10 Tfachim, then it's in Karmelis, or maybe even in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you're allowed to bring it to Rosh Hashanah. But safer the less bear bar, the safer what we're talking about with the basket is the tree itself is not 4x4 for kakola mashlimato ilarba, but the basket completes the area of 4x4. Meaning we have like this. So the tree itself is narrower than 4x4. Once you add in the basket, if you add in the size of the area of the basket, the area of the bottom of the basket, and it's right next to the top of the tree over there, then you have a complete 4 tefachim this way and 4 tefachim this way, and therefore it counts as a Rosh Hashanah. So the basket is not, right, well, from the Gemara itself, it's not obvious that the basket is all the way at the top. Tosfos points out that we have to say that the basket is all the way at the top because otherwise it would be considered chorei Rosh Hashayachid or chorei Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, in order to make it that when the food is in the basket, that it should be considered like it's in Rosh Hashanah or like it's in Rosh Hashayachid or not, it would have to be that the top of the basket is flush with the top of the tree. Yeah. Chode means holes. So we talk in Masechta Shabbos, we learned about, you have cases over there where you have a wall over there, for example. You have, right, so we said it depends on the size of the hole. The hole may be a makom patur if it's less than 4x4, or it may be a Rosh Hashayachid if it's more than 4x4. Yeah. Anyway. So the Rebbe Savala Kereb Meir the Savala Kereb Yehuda. Now, what we would say is Rebbe, when he says that you're allowed to have the food in that basket and you're able to bring it down to where you are, without being over on an Issa Darai San Shabbos, Rebbe therefore is holding like Rebbe Meir and like Rebbe Yehuda. He holds in one aspect like Rebbe Meir, and in a different aspect like Rebbe Yehuda. He holds like Rebbe Meir. We learned in the first perek and also in Shabbos about a concept called chokikin lahashlim. We talked about it in the first perek in connection with mezuzah. We talked about over there. You have a scenario where you have a doorway which is at least 10 tefachim tall. The bottom of the doorway was at least four tefachim wide. But then it curves as it goes up. It's an arched doorway, and we said so. It gets smaller and smaller by the time you reach 10 tefachim height. It's less than 4 tefachim width. And Rebbe Meir had said chokikin lahashlim. As long as that door is in a wall where hypothetically you could carve away parts of the wall to make a complete 4x10, then it's chayiv in mezuzah. And the Chacham say no. Here in a similar vein, we would say chokikin lahashlim. We would say that again, the tree itself, the stump of the tree, is less than 4x4. The branch is right next to it. What we would say is the whole thing together, we consider as though there was carved out an area of 4x4. Rashi brings a specific example that we learned in Masechta Shabbos in connection with a boat. We had a case over there in Shabbos involving a boat, which the bitziyosid mission, we called it over there, the kind of boats that are wide on top and then they narrow as they go down to the bottom. So we said that So we said over there that since the top of it, since the top of it is 10 tefachim above the ground, and the width of it at that point is 4 by 4 tefachim or more, then we consider we say since it narrows down to the bottom, since it narrows down to the bottom, we don't say we say therefore that it's not considered a rishus yachid. So in the same thing over here, we would say that. So in the same thing over here, we would say it's only a rishus yachid only if the width of 4 tefachim begins within 3 tefachim of the ground. The same way we said over there, as the bottom of the boat is narrow and it widens as it goes up. So only when you get more than 3 tefachim above the bottom, only then have you reached a width of 4 tefachim, and that's not considered a rishus yachid. By the same logic over here, you have the bottom of the tree is less than 4 by 4. Only when you get to the top, where that basket is, do you have 4 by 4. So therefore, it's not really considered a rishus yachid. The top over there, we say chokikin lahashlim. The top of it is 4 by 4, but further down on it, it's not yet 4 by 4 because there you only have the trunk of the tree, and therefore it's not considered. Therefore, it's not considered a rishus yachid. That's called good achis, and we're going to talk about soon why we don't say that. So he holds like Reb Meir that chokikin lahashlim, that we consider as though we had 4 by 4 over there. However, since you don't have that, since you don't have within 3 tefachim of the ground 4 tefachim width, then therefore it's not considered a rishus yachid. Therefore, Rebbe says that fine, the food is in the basket, it's still considered to be in rishus rabim. Or Carmelis, maybe. You yourself, your Mokum Shvi says at the bottom of the tree in Rosh Hashanah. So good, therefore you're able to. And the Savalak Rabbi Yehuda, also Rabbi agrees with something that Rabbi Yehuda says. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says you need to have the Eruv has to be placed on a spot which is at least 4 by 4 tefachim. It has to be a mokum choshuv, and here you don't have that veleka. Here you don't have that because without the basket you don't have that. So that's why Rabbi is saying. That's why Rabbi is saying that if you put it in the basket, then you're good. So my Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda talks about this idea that he says that it needs to be on a place 4 by 4? D'tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a knot's koira b'rishus rabim. What if a person stuck a pole into rishus rabim, the hiniach eruv ve'aleha, and he put his eruv on top of the pole? Here's a pretty straightforward picture. So he has a pole over here. Now we're going to have two cases. One is where there's just a pole and he puts the eruv of food on top of the pole. And the other one is where there's a basket, a traskel, on top of the pole and he puts the eruv of in that basket. So the first case is... the beginning of Hilchos Eruvin, yeah. But we're on Amud Beis, actually, though. Not he put the eruv on top of the pole. Gavoya yud rechava dalad. If the pole is large enough to be a rishus yachid by its own, it's at least 10 tefachim tall and at least 4 by 4 in cross section. Eruve eruv. Then his eruv is an eruv. And again, the reason is based on what we said before, based on Rava's logic over there, that any place where you put the Eruv, it's considered as though you have 4 amas around it. So again, we consider that entire area around the pole as though it was filled up. And therefore, you're in the same place as your Eruv. You're not actually allowed to take it there because the fact is the top of it is a Shusad Abim. And where you are is a Shusad Abim. The top of it is a Shusad Abim. Where you're standing at the bottom of it is a Shusad Yachid, is a Shusad Abim. As a Shusad Abim, so you can't carry from one Rishus to another. But for purposes of Eruv, we're going to consider as though it was one big Rishus Yachid. Doesn't matter. As long as it's Huve Eruv Makam Echad, we don't care that you can't actually get to it. It's just it has to be that you could have. Yeah. So, Vimlav Eruv Eruv. If not, then it's not an Eruv. Now, what does he mean by if not? L'chura, what he means is, if, among other things, if the pole is less than 4 by 4, or less than 10. So that's what we have to figure out. Soon we're going to ask what he means by that. That's what we have to figure out. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean? Adrabba, huve eruve b'makom echad. Adrabba, what do you mean? If the pole is less than 10 tefachim tall, then you should be much better. Then you don't even need this concept of that you're considering the whole thing of Rishas Yochid. The whole thing is Rishas Rabim. Good. The eruv is in Rishas Rabim. You're in Rishas Rabim. You can carry it less than 4 amas, so you're good. Evidently then, so evidently what Rabbi Yehuda must mean like this is gavoya asara, if the pole is 10 tefachim tall, then sorech shehe b'rosha arba, then you have to have, the top of it has to be at least 4x4, because it has to be on a mokum choshev. If you're going to have that, if you're going to have that the eruv is going to be, if you're going to have, so again, if the eruv is below 10 tefachim, we don't care about that. It's in Mekoimoi, it's in Mekoimoi, it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. The within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's considered as though it was on the ground. Rashi refers over here to a concept that we learned in Masechta Shabbos called Klota Kamisha Huncha. We had over there cases where you're throwing something, in Rishas Rabim, and it's within a certain distance of the floor, of the ground, we consider as though it actually landed on the ground. So here Rashi says it's a similar thing. If the eruv is below 10 tefachim from the ground, we consider it's on the ground. And of course, the ground is much more than 4x4 tefachim. The Rashba actually does not like that explanation of Rashi, because klutah kamisha huncha only applies when something is flying through the air. It doesn't apply when something is sitting on top of something. Otherwise, the Rashba says you'd never have the concept of carrying from one rishus to another. You would always say that klutah kamisha huncha. So he says that no, it's more a matter of if you're going to have, if the food is going to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, then we don't care about the makom, because it's still in this, it's still in your makom. So therefore, so it's considered valid. As opposed to if it's above 10 tefachim, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda holds that it needs to be on a makom choshuv, and it's less than 4x4. It's not a makom choshuv. Then you have no problem. Your makom shvisa is also in Rishas Rabim, within 4 amas of it, so you'd be able to take it and eat it. That's what we're saying. If it's above 10 tefachim, we consider as though that whole area is Rishas Yochid. But that's the thing. So Rabbi Yehuda apparently is saying over here, if the pole is 10 tefachim tall, and it's less than 4x4, then you have, so you can't consider, so yeah, from the point of view of being a virtual Rishas Yochid, it would. But from the point of it being on an actual Makom Choshev, it's not. Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be on a, that if it's going to be above 10 Tefachim, so that it's not in your Makom, then it has to be on a Makom Choshev of 10, of a 4x4 or more. That's the point. In other words, once it's in a separate rishus, once it's on top of the pole, and the pole, that's fine. We had Rava's logic over there before, that you always have 4 amas around it, and therefore it's considered as though the whole thing was filled up. So because then you have it on a makom choshuv. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you have your eruv not on a makom choshuv, then it doesn't count. And a makom choshuv is 4x4 tefachim. Then it wouldn't be a valid eruv tumah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying Rebbe agrees with that concept. So gavoya asara. So if the pole is 10 tefachim tall, 1 second, tzarech shehe b'rosh arba, then the top of it has to be 4x4 in order for it to be a makom choshev. Ein gavoya asara. But if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, ein tzarech shehe b'rosh arba, then we don't care if the top of it is 4x4 or not, because since it's less than 10 tefachim, then we consider as though it's in Rishas Rabim anyway. So according to Rashi, it's considered as though it's in Rishas Rabim. According to the Rashba, it's considered it's in his place. It's in Mekoimoi, and therefore it doesn't need a Mokum Choshev of its own. So therefore, so you're good. So Rebbe, no, that's what we're saying. Rebbe is saying this according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We're saying that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on that point. So therefore, back to our case of the basket that's sitting at the top of the tree over there, next to the top of the tree, we consider, because Chokekin L'Hashlim, you have an area 4x4, because when you combine the basket and the cross section of the tree, you have 4x4. So you have a Makom Choshev. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need a makom choshev according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's 10 tefachim tall, though, but because you don't have the bottom 3 tefachim of it are open, you have gdoyim boikim bo, you have that animals would be able to walk through there, therefore it's not a real Rishas Yochid, and therefore you'd be able to take it down from there, bein hashmashas, and eat it. So if he's in Rishas Yochid, then it has to be in Rishas Yochid. If he's in Rishas Rabim, so it has to be in Rishas Rabim or Carmelis. But what we're saying is, right? Yeah. No. We're talking about he wants his Mokum Shvisa to be at this spot in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He measured out. He found that if he puts it, he measured out before Shabbos, he found that if he puts his Erev in this particular spot, then he'll have enough distance to be able to walk from his bungalow colony to there, and then from there to the next bungalow colony.
So Erev Shabbos, he has to stand outside of his house.
No. Huve Eruvib Makam Echad doesn't mean that. Huve Eruvib Makam Echad means his Makam Shvisa, and his Eruv has to be that if he was standing at that point, Bein HaShmoshes, he would be able to take that food and eat it. So if his Makam, he doesn't physically have to be there, but his Makam Shvisa, it has to be that if he was there, Bein HaShmoshes, at his Makam Shvisa, then he would be able to get the food and eat it. In practice, he's not. In practice, he's at home. He sent the Eruv, as we said the other day, with a shliach, for example, and the shliach put it down for him. But yeah.
So all he has to do is stand there and eat his Eruv.
He doesn't actually have to. He doesn't. He has to be able to eat it. He doesn't actually have to be there bein hashmoshes. He doesn't actually have to eat it any time during Shabbos. All it has to be is that the food is in that spot come Erev Shabbos bein hashmoshes.
So and
Okay.
I started to understand it wrong.
Okay.
No.
Well, it has to be in the same rishus because it has to be that where he could conceivably stand there and eat it, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it needs to be on a mokum dalad al dalad. It can't just be hanging from a string, let's say, yeah. So that's the point. In other words, we're not talking about the Traskel yet. That's the next case. We're talking about over here where it's on top of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda is saying like this, that what we're explaining Rabbi Yehuda to be saying is like this. If the pole is 10 tefachim tall, then it has to be at least 4x4 because it has to be on a makom chashuv. Once that happens, then okay, you have the Eruv is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That would be a problem except for the svara that we said before that Rava had said. He has 4x4 amos always around the place of the Eruv in case it rolls away, for example. He has a leeway of 4 amos where if that 4 amos overlaps with the original 2,000, then we're still good. Therefore, that makes that whole area to be considered as though it was one big Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as though it was one big Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as though there were walls around it. So again, it doesn't mean that he's actually going to, at least, midrabanan as kulei eruv, not to the extent that he could actually carry within that square. He can't do that, but we consider mikulei eruv as though he would have been able to, right? Right. Yeah. So 1 second. So that's the thing. So if it's less than 4x4 in size, so then we don't have the problem of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But we have a different problem. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it has to be on a makom choshuv. So if it's above 10 tefachim, we're there, we can't say klota kamisha huncha. We can't say as though it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it's not on a makom choshuv. He says for that reason, it would be no good. Physically, it's a makom ptur, right? But what we're saying is that it's not a makom choshuv. A makom choshuv means it has to be at least 4x4 tefachim, and here we don't have that. So again, going back to the case involving the basket and the tree. So why is Rebbe saying that the eruv is good if it's in the basket by combining together the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, putting together Reb Meir who says that we have 4x4 on the top by combining together the tree and the basket, and Reb Yehuda's opinion that you need that because without 4x4 you don't have a valid place for the eruv anyway. So therefore, we're good. Whereas there's the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe. Remember, Rebbe Huda holds it has to be Mokum Choshev. Rebbe Meir holds Chokikin L'Hashlim. Rebbe Meir holds of this concept that we say that when you have an area which is partially open, like a hole or a doorway or whatever, that we can consider as though the rest of it was carved out and made into one big area. So here, the basket and the tree together combined to make up the four tefachim. Well, so no. So if it was all the way down to the bottom, then you would have, it would be a real Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But because it's not, because it's only at the top over there, so it's not considered a real Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because we're not going to say good achis. We're not going to say that the walls of it are considered to come down and complete it, because gedoyim boikim, as we're going to say now. So yeah. So the Gemara points out, command like Rabbi Yosi Bibi Huda. Now, who would that be like? That would not be like Rabbi Yosi Bibi Huda. That Ravina's answer, that Rebbe's case involving the basket is talking about this kind of scenario where the basket is at the top of the tree, is next to the top of the tree, and Chokikim Lahashlam and Makam Dalet or whatever, that would not work like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, I mean, Noatz Konam Rishas Rabim, if you stuck a pole in Rishas Rabim, the Niach Barosha Chaskol, and you put a basket on top of the pole, the Zorak Venoch Agabav, and then you threw something from Rishas Yachid, from Rishas Rabim, and it landed inside the basket, Chayev. Then it would be chayev. Why? Because he says good achis. Because we say since the top is 4x4, then we consider as though the walls come down and you have a complete rishas yachid over there, and therefore he's thrown from rishas rabim to rishas yachid. Even though, because he doesn't care about growing boken by right. Means the son of Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says not necessarily. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. No, Ravina's answer about the basket could even work according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because at least Hosam Hadron Mechitzasa. Because over there, what do you have? You have the pole, and you have the basket centered on top of the pole. So you have the actual walls of the basket are on all sides of the pole. And we can say good achis about them that we consider as though they come down and surround the entire pole. Here you don't have. The basket is only on one side of the tree. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily going to say that we consider the side of the basket to come all the way down and make that the whole thing should be considered 4x4. This is true. Right. Okay. So Ravina's answer could even work according to, so Ravina's answer about the case of the basket and whatever could work even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rashi brings another explanation that when we say command aloik Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is actually referring to the case of, This that the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yosef that it's command the local Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Rashi brings a second possible explanation that maybe it's referring to that case of Noatz Koira, that when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if the Koira at the top is less than 4x4, then we don't consider it to be a Mokum Choshu, and therefore your Erev is no good, that maybe Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say that the Traskel, even though it's less than 4x4, is good. Rashi says that no, because the Gemara explains in Shabbos that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's case involving the Traskel itself is 4x4 Tvachim. We're just talking about that it's high up off the ground. So then we have to say good Achis. If the basket itself was less than 4x4, we would never say good Achis on it, because it doesn't even surround an area 4x4. So therefore, so we can't say, Rashi says, that this Deloika Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is talking about the case of the pole. It must be referring to what Ravina had said at the bottom of Oman Aleph about the case over here involving the tree and the basket, that the Gemara thought that wouldn't work according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, because we would say the entire thing becomes a real Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And the answer is that no, even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda could only be talking about that necessarily when it surrounds the pole on all sides. And you say, good achas mechitzasa on all the sides, not when you have to say it on only one side. Has to be surrounding all sides. Okay, fine. Okay, everyone. Yeah, this was a little bit complicated.